The next verse, Bhagavan Sri Krishna will tell us more. What is this becoming Brahman? Can we become God? What they mean is becoming one with God. And that is explained more in the next verse. And also a little more about the joy that is experienced. This supreme bliss is experienced, is explained a little more in verse number 28. Yunjannevam sadatmanam. Yogi vigata kalmashah. Sukhena brahma samsparsham. Atyantam sukham ashnute. Yunjannevam sadatmanam vigata kalmashah sukhena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukham ashnute. So yunjan evam. So in this way, practicing in this way, sada. Sada means constantly. So you are saying constantly I should meditate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No. What Bhagavan will explain what he means by sada. What he means by sada is that when you are sitting for meditation, at least for that much time, sada, at least for that much time, your mind should be constantly on the Lord. 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour. So yunjan, so practicing evam in this way, what I have explained in the previous 27 verses, Bhagavan says, sada, atmanam. Atmanam often means, atma means the self. Here when Bhagavan uses the word atma, he's talking about the mind. So that's why the Bhagavad Gita or any of scriptures, you cannot take a Sanskrit dictionary and translate and say, I want to study myself. No, you need a guru like Swami Chinmayananda or a teacher who can tell you the way, the context. Here it is meant for me, the mind, this individuality. So this individual yunjan, practicing in this way constantly, what happens to the yogi? Vigata kalmashah. Vigata, gata means gone. Vigata means completely gone. Kalmashah is all his impurities. All his impurities, all his all their negativities, impurities are completely gone. So a person who sits for meditation and regularly practices, you know, with the body serving, with the mind loving, with the intellect, the right knowledge, and then sits for meditation, all his vasanas or impurities are gone. Vigata means completely gone, gone forever. Yogi vigata kalmasha. Then what happens to such a person who is practicing meditation on the path of spirituality and remembering the Lord? Sukhena, easily, brahma samsparsham. Brahma samsparsham means contacts Brahman. Now, when we say contacts Brahman, then Swamiji Gurudev in his commentary said, you mean to say Brahman is somewhere else and I have to contact him? Like if I have to meet somebody for a business appointment, so I make an appointment and I go, oh, there you are, I shake his hands. So that means God is somewhere else and I have to contact him. So we'll explain that. And then what happens to him? Atyantam sukha ashnute. Anta means end. Ati anta means without end. So the joy experienced by a yogi, by a meditator, by a one who is on the spiritual path is endless. Ati antam, there is no end. That is the kind of joy this yogi experiences. Why? Because he contacts God. He becomes one with God who is within him. And he understands that I am with God constantly. God is not separate from me. God is constantly with me. So practicing this, his mind becomes pure. Impurities go away. And easily he is able to contact God and experience the supreme bliss. So we can see that this whole Bhagavad Gita is very logical, very stepwise. As we see in the sixth chapter also, we saw Bhagavan shows us how to, you know, sit for meditation, how to quieten the mind, how to adjust the seat and how to overcome obstacles and what are the problems. Everything is logical. So here also he is giving us the result of meditation, because now the next few verses are actually very beautiful verses, which talk about the famous mantra in the famous saying in the Upanishad, the Mahavakya, which is called Tattvam Asi, that thou art. So the next three verses will tell us how I am that in detail. But here, this is the end of this particular section where he's telling us what is the joy of meditation and what is the happiness. And it is the happiness not from object, not from eating ice cream or eating pizza or buying a jewelry or buying a car or buying a house or getting married, or, you know, like somebody to become happy, what does he do? A single person gets married, and another one to become happy, what does he do? Divorces him. And then he divorces, and another guy is waiting. When does he divorce this girl so I can marry her? So the one, he wants to run away, other one wants to. So we are all looking for happiness. One who cheats, you know, one who steals, one who murders, one who kills. They're all looking for happiness, that by cheating I'll get happiness, by murdering I'll get happiness, by getting rid of this guy my mind will be happy. So he'll take a gun and shoot. So everything people do is for looking for happiness, but they say the happiness is within you at all times. When you're looking in outside, it's not going to be. And in meditation, the example they give is like a balloon. For example, a balloon is flying. You know, this gas balloon, helium, it flies, 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 flies. Ultimately, we don't see what happens to it, but they say the balloon, once it goes, when the atmosphere is very rare, the air is very thin, then the pressure in the balloon becomes more than the pressure outside, you know, the atmospheric pressure, and the balloon bursts. And then that rubber, you know, falls, and the balloon space becomes one with that total space. So similarly, in meditation, the mind goes higher and higher and higher and higher. Higher means not in space, but in our understanding. And ultimately, the mind, when it becomes one with God, before it becomes one, the mind dissolves, ruptures, bursts. By burst does not mean the mind gets finished, but the mind becomes one with God, becomes full. And the ego is that rubber which falls to the ground. So in the yogi, in his meditation, he becomes one with that because he's flying high and his ego falls. And then he sees no difference between, just as the balloon space becomes one with the total space, so the yogi's mind becomes one with the total mind. So that is called meditation, where the mind is no longer bothering this individual, because he says the mind is not me anyway. The mind is whatever it is doing, let it do. But I am the Brahman, I am the consciousness. I was listening to just so many beautiful examples, like these baby birds. You know, baby birds, if you have seen, and they are learning how to fly, they are sitting very firmly on the branch, right? They don't want to let go. Because they say, oh, if I let go, I'll fall. So they hold on tight and they don't want to let go of the branch. They have just come out of the nest, right? And so, and the mother bird is telling him, come on, fly, you can fly. And they don't want to fly, they're scared. So then the mother bird will fly in front of them, zoo, and fly back. And so they say, can I do that? They may not say it, but she says, yeah, you can do it. Let go the branch. Sometimes she will even poke the bird. And then the bird will let go and then zoom. Suddenly he realizes, I can fly. And then the bird starts flying. And like his mother, then he's chasing after her and picking up worms and all that. So similarly, you and I are like that baby bird holding on to our little, little things, you know, small, small things. I can't do it. I don't think. And the Mahatmas tell us, oh, you fool, you can fly. You can do the same thing that Jesus did or Buddha did or Shankaracharya did or Swami Chinmayi. You can, all of us can fly, but you and I are so caught with our little, little possessions. I can't leave this, I can't leave that, you know, if I can't leave my job, I can't leave. you can do everything, but just do it as dedicated to the Lord, and you and I can do fly as much as all these Mahatmas did. If they could do it, I can do it. So that is the beauty of this example. All they need is to purify your mind. Purify your mind, reduce your vasanas, reduce your selfishness, and you will experience sukha. And Bhagwan, again and again, he uses the word sukha in this chapter. He says, you want sukha? Come with me. Follow my advice. Atyantam sukham atyantikam yattad. One place he says. Then he says, sukham uttamam. Then he says, atyantam sukham. All different word ways he's trying to tell us that this is the only path if you are looking for joy. And what he means by Brahma samsparsham, Brahma contact, does not mean Brahma is somebody else, Brahman or God is somebody else, that I have to go to the temple and contact God or go to the church. Yeah, going to the temple or church or mosque is good. But if you want to find God, find him within. As I am that divine God and I are not separate, I am that divinity, and then you will experience infinite bliss. That's why he says, atyanta sukham, sukham paramam sukham, sukham uttamam, the highest joy, the highest bliss, the highest comfort, the highest peace. Everything is given to us, is promised to us in this verses, in the sixth chapter. All we have to do is get up, let go of our little selfishness, dedicate our life to God, serve God as much as we can. And whatever job I am doing, we are not saying you have to give up your job, wherever you are, whether you are dealing with patients or whether you are dealing with customers or with students or with your colleagues, do whatever your work you are doing, just dedicate it to the Lord. When you leave your house in the morning, God, please be with me all day. And when you come home, thank you, God, for another beautiful day. And so wake up in the morning remembering God. As I have said before also, the first words that come out of your mouth when you open your eyes should be Om Namah Shivaya, Shri Krishna, Sharanam. Get up with that thought, chanting. Do not get out of bed unless you have chanted the name of the Lord at least a few times. And thank God for another day. And at the end of the day, when you lie down, again lie down, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Chant the name of the Lord so that your mind becomes quiet. So your day should start with Bhagwan and end with Bhagwan. And then throughout the day, whenever it's possible, on your phone you can put God's picture, in your car you can put a little picture of God or a cross or whatever. And then when you sit in the car, just ask for the Lord's blessing. When you turn your phone on, you should, you know, people put their children and grandchildren and all. Yeah, that's also good. But somewhere in your life, you should find time for God at every moment, and that is the best thing. So that is the essence of these three verses, that when your mind becomes still and you bring it from all the other activities to the Lord within, then you will experience extreme bliss. Your mind will be very, very peaceful, and all your agitations will be quietened, your mind will be quietened, and all your negativities, impurities will end, and you will become one with God. So that is the goal of all human birth. Like they say, the goal of the river is to merge with the ocean. And until she merges with the ocean, the river keeps going, going, going. So you and I, our goal of this life is to merge with God, know God, become one with God. If we don't, we have to take another birth. One birth, two births, three births, 10 births, 50. But sooner or later, we all have to reach God. So why not in this life itself? Why wait for next life or next life? In this life itself, my goal is God. That one, if that one line, if you pick up from this class, there is nothing more we need to learn. In this life, my goal is God. Just learn that, apply that, that's all. There is nothing more. The essence of all scriptures comes down to this one line. That in this life, my goal is God. Do that and your life will be fulfilled. Thank you very much. Thank you for paying attention. I'm so grateful all of you come Sunday morning. It gives me chance to study and share my thoughts. So I'm very grateful to all of you. I'm so blessed. Every morning I get up and thank God that I have this opportunity to, because Bhagavad Gita is God's own words, and if I have the opportunity to share it, there can be no greater blessing.
Different from some of the other experiences, I guess that's what I'm thinking now.
Right. Right. I think people have a misunderstanding about meditation, that when I'm sitting in meditation, suddenly, you know, God will appear, I will see a light, and then Jesus will be descending from the stars and he will say, child, what do you want? I'm pleased with you. Or Krishna will come and I'll see the, you know, I'll hear the beautiful flute and I'll see his blue color. So when they, and even some of the spiritual teachers will also say, you know, in meditation you will be hearing the flute and then you will be seeing a blue light. So they think that meditation is meant for some phenomenal experience. And in our scriptures also they say he was sitting in meditation and then suddenly he saw this beautiful light and all. And so people are always looking for experience outside, that in meditation, and that is an error. When they say experience, actually there is no word to describe what happens. But the masters in their wisdom have to use language that you and I can understand. Just as when you're talking to a child, you cannot say the square root of the hypotenuse is the square. No. You have to tell him, oh son, you know, you see this triangle, this line, and, you know, like that. You explain, talk to him in the language of what he can understand. So the masters tell us experience, but it's not an experience outside. It's an understanding. And what they mean by experience is that you may get flashes of joy within when your mind is very quiet. And you sit for meditation and for a few moments your mind becomes very still, or even at the end of yoga when you're lying down and everybody is in that, you know, you experience that peace. So that only lasts for a short while, and once you get up from your yoga or get up from your meditation, your mind is again becomes disturbed. But a yogi always lives in that meditative state. Even when he's functioning in the world, he's always in contact with that inner peace, which you and I may experience for short moments. But he experiences it all the time. It's not an external experience. It's an internal understanding that I am that. And once he has understood that, then he says, yad gatva na nivartante tad dham paramam mama. Shri Krishna says that once a person has reached that abode of mind, then he never returns. So once he has had the firm understanding, initially it may be, like they say, it's like hazy, like in the fog. You can, you know, remotely see a house and you don't know which one is your house. But then once you get close and then you enter it and you say, oh, this is my house, not this one, that one. Then you're never deluded which is your house. So similarly, once you have entered the house within, then initially it may be little foggy, but then ultimately it becomes a permanent experience.
And so then the more you seek those experiences, the better chance you have.
Right, right. But again, seeking should be internal, not seeking within objects. Yeah, so the longer time you spend, but for that you have to have the right knowledge. See, a lot of schools of meditation will give you the techniques. You know, breathe this way, sit this way, do this. But Vedanta is the only one that tells you what are you seeking in meditation. You are seeking the self. That's why Vedanta is different from the other disciplines. Because it tells you what to do after you have quietened your mind. Most other schools will take you up to quietening your mind. But then what do you do with the quiet mind is in Vedanta. At least that's been my understanding. Because I have seen some of the other techniques, or I have met other teachers. But this to me is the one that takes you clearly to the highest. Thank you. That's a good question. Thank you. Anything else? Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम थैंक यू